ready, man?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to
Final hour already. Show's moving fast today, bud. Welcome in. Welcome back. If you've been kicking it with us so far, we're happy to have you. 615-737-1045. That's the number. Facebook Live, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch is where you can write in and hang out with us in studio if you so choose. That's where we are live streaming each and every day, all four shows. Let's talk about the Senior Bowl a little more. Prospects that I was interested in watching, guys that I had the opportunity to see and talk to. The running back position, something that Titans fans obviously have not talked about. When you have Derrick Henry on the roster, you tend not to worry about running back. And, of course, they took last year Hassan Haskins with one of their fourth-round picks, or I believe he was their only fourth-round pick. They had two third-round picks in that draft a year ago. So running back, not really something that pops into your head when you talk about things that the Titans might explore or players that you may be tracking or interested in at this stage. But as a group, I really enjoyed watching the running backs. Now, Coach Mack brought up Tajay Spears, the running back from Tulane. He, quantifiably, by measure of consistency or ability, I think he was the best running back almost by consensus when you talk to people around the event this year.
How did their quarterback impress, too, Clayton Tune? Obviously, Tulane had a monster year beating USC in the Cotton Bowl.
Well, Clayton Tune was the Houston quarterback.
I'm sorry, the Houston quarterback. Yeah, I don't know why I got confused.
I must admit, I watched Duggan, I watched Clayton Tune, I watched a couple of quarterbacks this week. Was there a Tulane quarterback? If so, I might have missed him, or that might have been during the earlier practices, because there was the national team practice while we were doing the show.
It's Michael Pratt. He's going back to Tulane next year. I got confused between he and Clayton Tune. But Clayton Tune, who had a big year for Houston, I heard stuck out.
So you lied?
Yes.
Okay. So whether he's running the ball or as a receiver, Spears was the player who made the biggest impression. He had a big run during Wednesday's practice. When he was matched up against a safety one-on-one, he found ways to make guys miss. He found ways to create separation. Defenders struggled to really get close to him. He's not a physically overwhelming player, but he's definitely bigger than I thought he would be, which is not something you typically say about draft prospects, because normally, you know, speaking of lying, the media guides that you get are like the sports information directories that you look up on the college websites. Guys are adding an inch or two, maybe 10 or 15 pounds here or there. He was definitely bigger than I expected him to be, and his strength was something that popped up.
Do they not do measurements at the Senior Bowl?
No, they did, and more spot-on measurements. But, you know, a lot of times, like, I'll have the roster there with me, and I'll see what they are, and then I'll go look at the media guide before I get ready to go down on the field, because I got my little Big J Journo notebook, and I'm making notes of questions that I need to ask guys or guys that I want to find after that day's practice. But yes, of course, they do get measurements there as well. But beyond that, a former Vol who was an Oklahoma Sooner when last he was in college football, Eric Gray. Now, Eric Gray, as far as the consistency was concerned, I don't think that I would put him at the top of the list, but he made a couple of nice plays and displayed versatility that that caught my eye, particularly on, what was that, Thursday's practice, going up against the Georgia safety, Chris Smith, I believe is the name. They were running hurry up offense, 11-on-11, and what Eric Gray was able to do both as a runner and a receiver really caught my eye. So I talked to him a little bit after Thursday's practice, and just kind of wanted to get a sense of how he was feeling about his performance and where at that point he had felt more confident from day one to day two. Here's that conversation.
It wasn't as hot. It wasn't as hot day one. It wasn't as hot today as it was yesterday, but it was just getting better. You know, the intensity ramped up today. We were full pass today, so a little more contact today, but it was good. It was good to get back out here and compete after yesterday, so it was a good day.
Did you feel like that collectively, just a general better comfort rhythm?
Yeah, I think more guys got their feet under them today. You saw a lot of guys playing faster, getting used to the inside. installed, so it was a better day.
From a trait standpoint, what makes you stand out from the rest of the running back group that's down here?
I would say my ability to do it all, being able to catch out of the backfield, being able to make people miss in space, being able to run inside zone, outside zone, gap schemes, just showing that I can do everything you need in an NFL offense.
Media members, put that on display. I can't remember the name of the Georgia safety, but it looks like he's got a little piece of it.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Throughout the course of this process, what are you hoping to prove beyond what you've already put on tape?
Just showing the teams who Eric Gray is. Showing the team that Eric Gray is a hard worker. He's going to do everything he can, every single day to be the best at his, be the best in the game.
From a standpoint of the kind of things that you're working on right now with your individual drills, what was kind of the emphasis on today's practice?
Today's practice was kind of drop step in there, and we did some pass blocking drills, drop stepping and working on inside zone tracks. So it was a good day today.
From a pass blocking standpoint, how do you feel like you stack up, and how big a part of that is that for teams at the next level?
You know, it's definitely a part of you got bigger, faster guys in there, but you got it's all about your technique. It's all about your technique with a base. You're protecting a $1 million man. If you can protect him, you can play anywhere.
As far as the running back position goes, it feels like there's been a stigma, for lack of a better term, about how it's valued. How much more valuable can the running back position be with that, as you mentioned, the ability to catch passes?
I think if you look at the receivers right now and how much they're getting paid, that's what's helping the running backs. The running backs that can catch out of the backfield, you're basically another receiver out there. You give the defense another guy they have to cover. So when you do that, you allow yourself to make more money and make the position more valuable.
So that's Eric Gray, former Vol and most recently Oklahoma Sooner, on after Thursday's practice. I don't want to make comparisons to guys who are in the pros, because obviously Alvin Kamara is a really, really high-level player. But stylistically, I could envision him in a role like that where running backs can create greater value for themselves. Now, Lucas, his time at Tennessee under a previous administration, What did you have the sense that this is somebody who could compete at the next level then, before he made his way to Oklahoma?
Oh, no question. You could see the talent from Eric Gray every time he touched the football. Now, his true freshman year, he played a lot at Tennessee when, you know, they started horribly, lost to Georgia State, and then, you know, won, what was it, 6 games in a row, whatever it was, to finish 8-5, beat your Hoosiers.
Yes, we don't talk about that game.
Cost you your hair. And then his second year was the COVID season. So he had 772 rush yards, and I'm pretty sure he just played 9 games that year, because it was a 10-game SEC slate, and then he was held out of that regular season finale against A&M as one of the players that, you know, was a part of the investigation and Jeremy Pruitt, and that's when that sort of snowball started to roll downhill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie, though. I did a double take this morning when I saw his production at Oklahoma this past season.
In terms of good or bad?
Good.
Yeah.
Over 1,300 rush yards, 6.5 yards per carry, 11 touchdowns, 229 receiving yards. I just didn't realize how productive he was running the football for Oklahoma this year. And Oklahoma was year one of Brent Venables. Their defense was an atrocity. They ended up going 6-7, I believe, losing the bowl game to FSU.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness. I mean,
no,
he had a fantastic season running the football.
The amount of response I got from Oklahoma Sooner fans, just for that guy having been there for a shorter period of time, they are in love with Eric Gray.
Yeah, I mean, he had an incredible high school career at Lausanne High School in Memphis and was very highly rated. I believe decommitted from Michigan to go to Tennessee. But you could see the talent every time Eric Gray touched the football, the elusive ability of Eric Gray, the ability to catch passes out of the backfield. And he, I mean, was a massive part of, almost single-handedly pushed Tennessee past Indiana in that comeback, not only scoring both touchdowns, I'm pretty sure, also recovering the onside kick that set Tennessee up for the game-winning touchdown.
The thing that literally, the play that literally cost me my hair.
Yeah, so Eric Gray, you know, had he been in a better situation at Tennessee, would have been fun to see him in a Josh Heupel sort of offense at Tennessee, but showed nothing but talent and production when he did take the field.
So enjoyed watching him. He put Chris Smith in an absolute blender. Chris Smith, you could argue Chris Smith, the Georgia safety, is responsible for two of the biggest plays that were made in the national championship game the past two seasons, or two of the biggest defensive plays that were made in the national championship game past two seasons. Chris Smith, by the way, who did make some plays himself out there as one of the veteran, well, I mean, I guess they're all veterans, but there's a lot of dudes who are of a more advanced age than you would typically associate college football players as being. Really, but, you know, we're going to spend some time on some offensive linemen coming up next, because I know that's where everybody's attention mostly gravitate towards. I'm curious, though, because I'm looking through some of the Zone TV chat. John Michael A. on YouTube. One, is that the Pink Floyd logo?
Yeah, that is the Dark Side of the Moon cover.
You're kidding.
There you go.
Am I being trolled? Is that something that John did recently, or has that always been there?
If so, hat tip to John Michael A.
That would be next level trolling.
I've been meaning to send you some Pink Floyd songs.
I feel like I know Pink Floyd songs. I just probably couldn't name them. Like, I would recognize them. I just can't, you know, sometimes I struggle with naming bands the way that you do. I don't have that kind of bandwidth specifically for musical artists. But he says, evil lurking in behind you, LP. What is lurking?
I think you probably saw Bert.
No, I didn't see him. Is there something lurking back there in the shadows that needs to be removed from the shadows?
What's going on, dude? Hey, I knew you're up against a break, but let me pitch something for you. You got all this money. You got all this time.
Whoa.
I got a business opportunity.
Are you pocket watching?
I'm not pocket watching, but I have looked in all your pockets in your house, and I did not find anything worth any value.
He was asking me last night, because now Robert is producing the primetime show, which, you know, for better or worse. And he was asking me where I do the primetime show. I was like, I'm in my office upstairs. And Robert is obviously de facto cat sitter when I'm on road trips at this point. And I was kind of surprised to know that you had not ventured your way into my upstairs after, you know, learning that you had been naked at some point in my home.
Well, I wasn't all the way naked. I just took my pants off. Like, I had a shirt on, but there's no need for me to go upstairs. I can mess with
Winnie the Pooh-ing it.
There you go. That's 100% Winnie the Pooh with it. Oh, bother. I haven't been upstairs in your house because I can feed your cats and I can do everything downstairs. And it's not like I'm just lounging in your nice sofa, by the way. It's really good. And it's leather. The problem with leather and naked butts is that you'll like have to peel off of it. Doesn't happen on yours. You can get a clean release right off. It doesn't stick to it.
A clean release.
From the couch. Anyway, how did my Shark Tank pitch ended up talking about you the whole time? All right, maybe.
Because I'm good like that.
Maybe that's a tease. Can I pitch it to you on the other side?
No, you can pitch it to me now.
Okay, I'll do it quick. The title, the business, Aphrodisi Snacks. Sometimes you and your girl, like, maybe stuff's not popping. Maybe you don't want to go get injections or take a pill. Sometimes you just want to eat a bar of chocolate.
Unless it's from Low T Center. Relax.
Unless it's Low T Center, who does great work in that front.
Thank you for that.
Take your other business ventures away. Aphrodisi snacks, though. Chocolate bars, shrimp, oysters. Things that get it rolling in the bedroom. So if anybody steals that, I'm going to find you, and I'll buy all of your stock.
Why are you worried about my sex life?
I'm not worried about yours, but anybody else that maybe just wants to eat a little chocolate bar, have a little oyster, and then go out on a date. Go on a date night. Aphrodisi snacks. I need some people to put some money into it, because I'm trying to make some money.
So you're asking me for my money.
Yes, to help me make money.
I see.
Well, he's got to go spend money on a new couch this afternoon, so he's a little hung up.
One that apparently has better grip when it comes to the leather. Back to the shadows. We're going to talk about a different line of thinking to fix the Titans offensive line coming up next.
Let's see, something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Good vibes on this Friday. Welcome back. 615-737-1045 is the number. Question I'm going to ask you is this. How would you fix this Titans offensive line? There's a variety of different ways that this can be explored. And as I watch highlights, if you want to call them that, from the Pro Bowl on NFL Network right now, And
there's water balloons exploding on NFL players.
Who is that? Is that Saquon Barkley absolutely getting pummeled with a dodgeball in the face?
The worst part of that is, okay, look, they said no headshots in dodgeball, right? You can't, if you headshot someone, you are eliminated. So DeMario Davis was penalized for throwing an absolute heater of a dodgeball. And Saquon goes to the ref and he's like, he hit me in the face. He hit me in the face. And then the NFC offense got to advance to the final round. They ended up winning the whole shebang. DeMario Davis should be offended. The script for that dodgeball game was abhorrent. Did I use that word correctly?
Yes, you actually did.
Wow! That SAT prep's helping, boy!
Just now you're taking the SAT prep.
Well, I'm not taking the SAT, but I'm tired of using words incorrectly on your show, so I'm just trying to get a little smarter.
You know what? I appreciate that.
You're doing SAT prep?
Well, I'm lying. This is all a lie. It's all a fabrication.
Why does nobody like telling the truth on this show?
Ooh, this really happened. Ooh, who cares, man? Nobody cares.
Wait, are you actually watching the Pro Bowl stuff?
I watched it last night. I watched the dodgeball and the golf portion of it.
Yeah, no, the highlights from the long drive competition are coming up right now. It makes me happy to know the professional athletes have as ugly a golf swing as I do.
But I don't know. Some of them are pretty good.
Marlon Humphrey dunked one last night. Man.
No, I mean, I'm not saying wholesale that the football players don't swing golf clubs well, but like when I see Charles Barkley out there, it makes me happy.
Well, sure, he ain't got hips. He ain't got Shakira hips. But if you look at corners who've got to like move their hips and shuffle like
nobody
that,
nobody can see.
Yeah, it's a shame that's not on camera.
I was doing it for you. It wasn't for them. It was for you.
It was very seductive.
I'm telling you, the hips on the corners, they're the best golf players. If you got to get a football player for your team, go with secondary players.
Well, but who had the biggest swing? They just had it up there.
I think it was Jordan Poyer.
The Bills safety.
Oh, so DBs, there you go.
And he's like 32, he's an old dog, man.
Well, and he's not been playing football in quite some time, so his body probably feels pretty good out there on the golf course.
The LIV Golf Tour is probably looking at some of these guys like, hey, sign a celebrity deal, come hit some balls over here.
They pay more money, more guaranteed money than the NFL does.
I believe that.
For damn
sure. I believe
that. All right, Shadows.
Ah!
Do you know Kirby doesn't like that bit? Kirby was getting so upset every time I did that yesterday.
He didn't like the Shadows bit?
Well, I think he was upset for the amount of bathroom jokes that Robert was making. But Kirby had this whole almost parental conversation with me about doing audio bits like that. I'm like, Kirby, it's not the only thing that I enjoy doing about the radio show, but it's one of the few powers that I still have as somebody who has zero control over the radio show. Other than the ability to speak. I don't even get that because Lucas can turn my microphone off at any point. It's very frustrating. I don't want to get rid of that, though. That's one of my favorite things in the world.
Sending Bert to the Shadows?
There are a few things that put a smile on my face every time that it happens. That is one of them.
And I think he enjoys it as much, if not more, than you do.
Yes, but he's somehow, through, you know, a wizardry, has figured out the ability to return from the shadow realm that I send him to. Which is frustrating because now I have to actively combat it on a regular basis.
Talk about offensive linemen.
Okay, shall we? How would you fix this? I think there's a variety of different ways that you can explore it. I was thinking about this yesterday realistically, what I watched at the Senior Bowl, there were some left tackles down there. There were some guys that were worth watching, but mostly the group was dominated by players who are primarily going to be looked at on the right side of the line. And I had heard, I can't remember if this was something that Ramon brought up on the air during their show, or if this was something that we were talking about off the air at dinner the other night. Because the grind never stops. Ball talk all the time. But Darnell Wright, who I spoke with at the Senior Bowl, I think that was Wednesday when I caught up with him, he is viewed as the consensus, almost consensus, top player at the right tackle position, and certainly the best of the Senior Bowl prospects that was down there. Now, a couple of guys certainly made some money for themselves, and maybe that evaluation has changed, as it will throughout the course of the draft process. There's almost never one narrative that consistently holds true at any given point. There's just too much time to talk about these things. So when I'm trying to think about ways to fix the offensive line, Ramon had brought up the idea of, okay, well, let's just take Darnell Wright for an example. And Lucas, if you would pull that clip from my Twitter feed the other day, I think it might be worth playing here for people who haven't heard it, of our discussion with Darnell. The idea of drafting a plug-and-play right tackle, let's just call it Darnell Wright, okay? In whatever round. I would imagine he doesn't fall further than a second or a third round pick. I'd be shocked to see him go on day three. But, so say you draft Darnell Wright. Well, you have NPF. NPF is the only thing that you really do have, like concretely right now, that you are certain is going to be a part of the Titans offensive line next season. So in saying that, would you be comfortable moving NPF to the left side where he is, where he has played in college? He was not his best position, but that he's capable of playing. Would you be better off moving NPF to the left side, giving him the opportunity to develop further there, drafting a plug-and-play right tackle, and figuring out the rest of the three positions? Because Aaron Brewer, respectfully, I don't think that he should be allowed to start for this team in 2023. I don't know what Ben Jones's decision ultimately is going to be, but I know that Ben that is at least contemplating the idea of retirement, rightfully so. Whether it be, totally his decision or something that he thinks is in the best interest of his family, that's Ben's decision to make, and obviously he's earned that right because he's still under contract next season. Nate Davis is an unrestricted free agent, and this team is currently in cap hell despite getting $16-plus million more dollars on their salary cap right now. So Nate Davis' return is not a certainty. Nor is, for example, David Long's, but right now we're focused on the offensive line. And that doesn't just include starters. Like, they need better depth there as well. And it's not all going to be capable of being done this year, either through the free agency or the draft. So the question is, how comfortable would NPF be on the left side? Could it be worse than playing Dennis Daly out there? How much should Taylor Lewan factor into this conversation? I think he should, absolutely, even if it's not for $14 million this year. They need to have if that is a part of the plan, or if that is one plan that they can consider, given that Taylor is under contract, has a $14 million cap hit and no dead money associated with his deal, are you comfortable moving or keeping Taylor on the left side, trying to figure out basically the other three positions that are kind of in flux, and doing a more team-friendly deal to keep Lewan in place there for at least a season, if not two, or voidable years, or however you want to structure that deal. That's up to Rand Carthon and Vin Marino. I understand why people would be skeptical of the Lewan thing as a solution, because he has not, just plainly, he's not been reliable to be out there. And whether that's his fault or something beyond his control, you can debate that. I don't have the interest or the energy in doing so. Point being, he hasn't played a lot of football for this team lately. And so the reticence of people to continue to try and make the Lewan thing work, I completely understand if you're done with the experiment. But they have to have multiple contingency plans for this offensive line right now, because the need is so great at multiple positions, at basically every position but one. And that's not just talking about starters. This team needs to operate under the assumption that they're going to need more and better players on the offensive line. In fact, that should be the primary focus at multiple positions as far as both starters and depth is concerned for this entire draft and free agency process. That's the thing that has to be fixed first and foremost. 615-737-1045. What is the best solution to fixing the Titans' offensive line? There can be several. At this point, I'm sure there's a wrong answer somewhere, but God bless. I just need to try something at this stage. Beanie is in Nashville up first. Hey, Beanie.
Hey, brother. I'm ashamed to say that I agree with most of what you just said.
That makes me very happy to hear. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you're happy. It's kind of painful on my end. But anyway,
it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this together.
I hear you. But anyway, I think at this point you got to try. What would be, the harm in moving the guy over and giving him a try? Mm. Taylor Lewan's got to be ready to, you know, he swallowed a bunch of time off the clock. Now he's got to swallow his pride and take a big pay cut if he wants to stay here. I mean, that's just my opinion. Other than that, on fixing the offensive line, I say we get a couple of really nice designers in there, a couple of guys with hammers and hard hats, and maybe a couple of guys with screwdrivers, and let's just get to work and see what we can do with this.
No, I'm with you, Beanie, and I appreciate you being willing to swallow your pride and saying this was the one moment that you're comfortable admitting that you agree with me. Makes me very happy. I wonder how many – I'd be curious to know how many people throughout the course of a three-hour show have that thought crossing their mind. Like, damn, this is awful. I agree with him.
That was a great call by Beanie.
I feel like I'm not that controversial. Like,
hard hats and screwdrivers.
I feel like I'm not out here throwing stuff against a wall and just saying bleep.
See,
like,
that was a great call by Beanie, and all you're worried about is what he had to say about you.
It's true.
You tried to fix the Titans' offensive line, and you're just so fixed on what he said about agreeing with you. It's an all-time call, hard hats and screwdrivers.
God, if that is not one of the most prominent red flags of my character defects. Anyway, there, I mean, the Lawan thing, it has to come at a lower figure than $14 million. It just has to. Let me pull up the cap numbers right now before we go back to the phones. Because at this stage, they are in legitimate cap hell. They have a situation in Tennessee where despite the salary cap going up by $16+ million, at this stage, that they are still in the worst cap position of any AFC South team right now, and that they still have so many different, they have a variety of different ways where they can clear this cap, but obviously it comes at positions of great need. So to say that there's one solution here would be inaccurate, but right now, okay, do you know, let's just see if let's see if they can take a crack at this. Lucas, do you know which of the four AFC South teams has the most cap space at this stage?
The most cap space. I'm going to go not the Jags. Lawrence is on a rookie contract, but they paid Christian Kirk a bunch of money and they've paid a couple of other guys. I'll say the Texans.
The Texans have the fifth most cap space in the NFL this year heading into 2023. 39.2 and change.
Yeah, and they're completely building around rookie building blocks. Damian Pierce on one side, Derek Stingley on another.
The Colts are second with 13.07.
Now the Colts, or I'm sorry, the Texans might have to pay Laremy Tunsil.
And he is not interested in, I saw Saquon Barkley say the other day he's not interested in resetting the market with his contract. Laremy Tunsil, in fact, is.
Yeah, no, that's
again
not going to be cheap.
Again, one of the worst things that Bill O'Brien did was just for no reason pay him like $10 million more than the next left tackle in the league.
I mean, this will be his third contract, right?
Yeah, whomever Laremy Tunsil's agent is deserves all the money in the world at this point because he's not like an old player. I don't think he's 30 yet.
He is 28. Yeah, he'll turn 29 during training camp.
Incredible. So this guy's going to get another crack at it. And by the way, deserves to be paid.
Yeah, great player.
Colts, 13.07. They have the 14th most cap space in the NFL. The Jags are $22.2 million over the cap. They're 28th. The Titans have the 30th worst cap situation in the NFL heading into next season. $26.62 million over, despite the cap going up to a record $224.8 million next year. So no matter how many different ways you clear that 26.6 and change, there are going to have to be some significantly substantial contracts that come off the books. And Lawan Taylor is the easiest to do, right? It's $14 million clean right out the gate. There's a couple other ones, like Robert Woods doesn't have dead money associated with his deal next year. Bud Dupree does have some, but there's savings to be had. We talked about Zach Cunningham, Ryan Tannehill, if they wait till after June 1st, but still, it's a tough scene. Lawan is the thing that is the easiest to do, but it's at the most difficult position for them to do that because they have so few answers on the offensive line right now. Ryan is in Lebanon up next. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, Buck?
Good, buddy.
Hey, one thing that, you know, I haven't heard much talk about, yes, we need to work on the offensive line, no doubt about it, but somehow we need to keep Jeffrey Simmons and get the man paid, and let's move on. That's one thing that has to be done, in my opinion. Love to hear you talk about it. Thanks, Buck.
Man. So Jeff's, I mean, he's still under contract, but yeah, they have to find a way to do it. And it's just not, it's so not easy right now. That's why, like, when people talk about, oh, they have to bring back David Long and Nate Davis. No, they really don't. Like, Nate Davis, in terms of priority, Jeff, Nate, Long. Like, David Long, who has been a phenomenal player, and a phenomenal find as a sixth-round pick out of West Virginia.
Yeah.
That dude deserves a contract somewhere. Inside linebacker is not a premium position. I have zero interest, if I'm the Tennessee Titans, in paying an inside linebacker a big second contract, big money deal.
David Long was the player of the year in which conference?
The Big 12.
Nice.
You thought you were going to get me, didn't you?
The only reporting on Big Jeff's contract stuff was really Sando, right? A few months back, talking about...
Not Sando.
Or Jeff, it was a Howell.
No.
The Athletic.
Damn it.
It was The Athletic.
Who's Pompey? Dan Pompey.
I went over two. But Dan Pompey's reporting on the Jeffrey Simmons stuff was a few months back. And what was it? I mean, it was... You know, we want you to be here. We don't know if you're worth this. Here's what it basically.
No, not that they don't know if he's worth it. Basically, they know that he's worth money. They're basically just
not
saying
as much
we don't
as
know
you,
how
you're
we're
thinking.
Well, no, basically what their line I'm paraphrasing here. It's not the exact line, but basically what they said is we don't know if we're going to have that to give you right now.
Right. Well,
and by the way, 26.6 over. They don't.
And all, but worth saying, all of those conversations happened with John Robinson as a general manager.
Mm-hmm. Now, it is fair to assume that Rand Carthon is going to value Jeffrey Simmons, but Jeff is now in the $25 million a year range, and you're already 26 over. So, like, we know that there's going to be a substantial amount of cap cleared at this point. Jeff is the second most important priority on the roster right now. Offensive line, whatever that looks like, is first. They have to fix that first and foremost. They have to figure out how to get Jeff paid. Well, honestly, I'd probably stack Jeff third just because the quarterback situation is the most important position in all of sports. And they are, you know, they are in an interesting spot with Ryan Tannehill right now. And I do think we didn't talk about this yesterday, or maybe we did a little bit just in passing. But the idea that there may actually be value for Ryan Tannehill on the market now, even coming off an ankle surgery because of the Tom Brady thing. I don't think that can be ruled out at any stage at this point because he's still a very functional player.
And you think about a team that would want to take a first round quarterback and want that veteran bridge guy while that rookie develops and not want to start a rookie quarterback. Like, would Tannehill not be?
He's better than Andy Dalton.
Really good candidate for something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Better than Andy Dalton. He's better than Teddy Bridgewater. He's better than, you know, transitional quarterback X.
Yeah. No. Two teams that might be interested in doing that are in the AFC South. So that is a part of this, in the Texans and the Colts. But just something to think about. Like, if I'm an NFL team wanting a veteran to come in and just bridge that gap, like Ryan Tannehill sounds like, if in the right scheme, a great option.
Worked here. 615-737-1045. Last call for phone calls. We'll update the polls. We'll wrap it up on a Friday. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.
Let's see, something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Oh, man, fun week of shows. You missed any of it, whether it's conversations we did this week at Senior Bowl with former Vols quarterback Hendon Hooker or new Titans GM Rand Carthon, any of our favorite regular appearers like Mike Giardi of the NFL Network or Coach Mac, it's all available in the podcast feed. Very self-involved title, The Buck Rising Show. Go check it out. Last call for phone call, 615-737-1045. I'm excited to have a weekend at home. Apparently the weather, it's cold as hell here, by the way. I don't know what happened by the when I went to Mobile. I didn't see all the bad weather that you guys were having because it was 73 and sunny when we were down in Alabama. But good God, I was not prepared for this brutal chill that received Kirby and I upon our return yesterday. Anyway, looking forward to happy to be back. Wrap up with some calls. How about Elaine in Nashville up next? Hey, Elaine.
Hey, how's it going? I just called to comment on the last segment where you're trying to pitch Tannehill as a bridge quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree that Tannehill is some fat that could be trimmed from our team. But I'm just real skeptical of the idea that another team would see him as a guy that they could use to mentor younger quarterback that they might draft this year, given his comments about how it's not his job to mentor the backup quarterbacks. I'm specifically thinking of, the comments that he made about Malik last year.
Well, Elaine, so is it the mentor word that you kind of attach to there? Because that, of course, was all nonsense, right?
Yeah, I mean, that word kind of, I bristled at that word. But also, I mean, if you take a look at his social media, Instagram account is 100% Ryan Tannehill. He never posts about anybody else on the team, and he only posts when he plays. And if I'm looking for a mature quarterback to come in and shepherd a young quarterback or to just come in and, I don't know, be a good team role model, I'm not looking at Tannehill to fill that slot.
Now, again, Elaine, I would say, he doesn't do his own social media, right?
Of course, but I would imagine that he has some sign-off power on it. If I'm looking at that social media page and I'm him, I would say, gosh, can't you feature some of my teammates? Like, this is weird that it's all about me all the time. Like, can't we give a shout-out to, Derrick Henry or to Dobbs when he came in and did a great job? Like, can't we talk about something other than me?
I mean, I don't post about anybody but me on my social media, but I'm not a good example of this.
Yeah, you're not the.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you're doing. I'm not posting pictures of Lucas on my Instagram page. You know what? Elaine, respectfully, what the hell is that?
No, I mean, I see what she's saying, but
I don't. Come on. That's a basic, it's just a lame version of Mentorgate all over
right,
again.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Ultimately, if that were the case and another team looked at Tannehill as a prime option to come in and bridge that gap with a rookie quarterback not wanting to start that rookie right out the gate, his job still would not be to mentor that rookie quarterback.
No,
his job would be to play quarterback for that team, and whatever the rookie backup picks up along the way, great, which is basically what he said about Malik Willis. It's not my job to mentor him. Whatever he can learn from me, that's fine, which was completely accurate by Ryan Tannehill.
Well, I'm just going to, let me just debunk all of this right now, okay? And it's, listen, I Elaine shares the opinion, or many people share the opinion that Elaine has, and that was it led SportsCenter for a damn week because it was slow this summer, and a quarterback said something about a rookie. So, let's all feed from the same terrible, terrible sports talk media trough. But, it's not like he's not supportive of his teammates on his social media account. Elaine, just because he's not posting physically on the posts portion of Instagram or Twitter about his teammates doesn't mean that he's not regularly sharing things from his teammates on, for example, his Instagram story when Ben Jones goes to the Pro Bowl or Josh Dobbs goes in. Like, those are things that happened, whether you happen to see them or not in the 24-hour span that things like Instagram stories last. You know, I'm just, if you're going to nitpick that way, then I'm here to provide you the counter. The mentor element of this, it is incumbent upon zero starting quarterbacks in the NFL to mentor a rookie quarterback who is actively trying to take their job. I do not mentor Lucas, nor would Lucas want me as a mentor, even though Lucas is actively on a daily basis trying to take my job. I sure as hell don't mentor Robert. Robert's beyond help. Even though Robert is decidedly less of a threat to take my job. In fact, Lucas should be the one. Do you feel that you need to mentor Robert?
No, Robert's got his stuff figured out.
Robert's
got life figured out far more than we do.
Which is basically what Ryan Tannehill said at the podium about Malik Willis. He's like, yeah, you know, right? He got his stuff figured out.
Oh, hang on. Okay, listen.
Damn it.
I'm a little offended that you don't post Lucas and I on your Instagram.
You know what? Damn it, I do.
You have. Yeah, you actually have before.
Well, I haven't blocked. I don't really look at it. I think you should post us more than you are currently.
I literally do. Nobody is more supportive of you two bleep holes than I am.
I actually hope you haven't blocked.
I just think you should take more pictures with us. It's like every time these media people come around or NFL Network or anybody comes in here to shoot Buck, it's all about Buck. Buck's got to get his day in the limelight. He's got to sit in the center stage with that spotlight hitting him right in the forehead. But maybe you should shine that spotlight in here, even though it is very dark.
Instead of a spotlight, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the exact opposite. Shadows. Polls.
Oh, the polls have to be updated. We've reached a crucial point in the show. It's time to update the polls. Take my hand. Get to the chopper. Lucas Panzica will give us the final update. Why am I yelling? It's giving me a headache, but it's only a headache. It's not a tumor. Hasta la vista, baby. I'll be back. Why am I yelling?
That one is just so unbelievably ridiculous that I think it might be one of my favorites. They're all good.
It's my favorite one. Presented by Two Rivers Ford, who sells below MSRP on all non-specialty new Fords. What position group are you most interested in for the NFL draft? It's a whole bunch of offensive line answers.
Yeah, I mean, that's priority number one, baby.
Will the Titans hire an offensive coordinator before or after the Super Bowl? 94% say after.
Ooh, I think head on a swivel about some coaching news maybe later this afternoon. Keep an eye out.
Will you watch the Pro Bowl? 86% say nah.
No, thank you. I'm good.
LeBron or MJ? 68% say nah. I'm just
Are you serious?
With you. I didn't do that. Those are the polls. It's 23?
Yes.
So everybody's just using it as an excuse to play MJ and remember your favorite MJ moments.
Punch me in the face. My favorite MJ moment was Space Jam. That's the only thing that was memorable. That's the only memorable moment I have of Michael Jordan. Nobody under 30 cares about him. I'm done for the week. You can't fight with me anymore.
Very relatable.
I'm out of touch. See ya.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.